Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
To preach to you today, welcome to Auburn Community Church. I'm excited to welcome you to the hardest church to attend in Auburn, Alabama. And I realize that there are so many difficulties to you being here today. And part of me wants to apologize for that, but another part of me is like, how exciting is it to be a part of a move of God where it is so hard to get to church? And it is such a difficulty to end up under the word of God and worshiping together, but yet somehow we do it week after week. Somebody was calling me this week. They were like, man, what in the world is happening on College Street in downtown Auburn? I saw like 1,000 people walking up a hill with Bibles in their hands. I thought the rapture had happened. Like, maybe I got left behind. What is the deal? And I was like, man, it's just so crazy what God is doing in this space. And if I've never met you before, my name is Miles Fidel. I'm humbled that you would spend a part of your Sunday with us. And I cannot wait to preach this word to you because the series that we're starting today is really a series that God has written in my heart over the course of the last 4 years. 4 years ago, when God called my wife and I to plant a church in Auburn, Alabama, that was truly the most unknown circumstance and situation that we'd ever stepped into. And God has taught me this lesson over and over and over again that 4 years in, I'm starting to feel like I get a sense for what he's trying to say when life throws uncertainty your way and when you don't really know how things are going to play out. So the title of our sermon series is called Into the Unknown. And if I could give you a tagline for this sermon series, it would be this. If you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. Or go somewhere you've never gone. I'm gonna say that again. If you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done or go somewhere you've never gone. And so I've had this frustrating relationship with the unknown in my life, and maybe you can relate to this. I come up on a situation or a circumstance that God calls me to where I don't really have any control of how it's going to play out, and I don't really know how all the details are going to unfold. And so it's my temptation and tendency to complain to God about why he's not doing what he's supposed to do in my life. And I tell him my frustrations and my difficulties with, I don't know why this happened, and I don't know why I can't see how this is going to end up, and I know what I want you to do, and clearly you're not doing it right now. And so I end up complaining and dreading everything about what I'm going through. But then when I go through it long enough and what was in front of me starts to become what is behind me, I look back on it and I go, oh my gosh, the very thing I wanted to avoid and the very thing I was dreading became the thing in my life that produced the greatest level of connection with God and the greatest amount of purpose in and through my life. And so I go, that's weird. That ended up better. But then, this is the frustrating part, I get hit with the next wave of uncertainty and the next set of circumstances, and I repeat the cycle all over again. And then I start dreading what I can't control. I start complaining about what I don't know about, and I start going, we already talked about this. Why do you keep dropping the ball and controlling my life? Like, I need you to handle this a certain way. And then once again, I go through that situation and circumstance long enough, and I look back and go, oh, you've been in control the entire time, and you're actually moving and working, and this is actually amazing. And then I get hit with another one. And so I'm at the point now, I turn 30 this Saturday. So yay, I'm old enough to be your pastor. I'm turning 30 and I'm realizing I'm learning a lesson. And that lesson is this. I really would like to stop living my life in fear of what I don't know and simply start enjoying the journey and adventure of following Jesus. I'm at the point where he's repeated the same process so many times in my life where I'm going, you know what? Maybe this whole journey would be a lot easier if I let go of my need to control and just followed him and enjoyed this journey. And maybe there's a freedom that comes from knowing something is going to hit your life that you don't understand. An opportunity is going to come that you really can't control the circumstance of how it's going to unfold. And I don't know if that's a heartbreaking circumstance. I don't know if it's an opportunistic circumstance. I don't know what that looks like. But I do know when you're following Jesus, he tends to lead you places that you didn't see coming. And when that happens, I want my reaction and I want your reaction to stop being, oh, I hate this. Why don't I have answers for this? To, you know what? Don't know how it's all going to play out, but I trust you. And you know what? I might not have all the answers, but I do have a Savior I can trust. I want us to enjoy this. And yes, we're going to endure heartbreaks and trials. There's also going to be mountaintops and victories unlike any other in your life. But let's be the church that goes into the unknown gladly and lets God define the steps of our journey. Are you interested? Okay, look at the person next to you. Say, I'm interested. Are you interested? I'm interested. Some of the single people are like, is this about the sermon? Or, okay. That's great. Every service, that just gets better and better watching some of you. It's great. Part one of Into the Unknown is going to be called Fire by Night. Fire by Night. Somebody goes, oh, yeah, fire is my favorite emoji. And it really is. If you grew up in church, you know what that title means. And if you didn't, I want to fill you in. I also just want to say, if you didn't grow up in church and you don't know everything about the stories of God in the Old Testament, you didn't go to Vacation Bible School, your parents didn't tell you all this stuff, you are not a second-class Christian. We're so glad you are here and we are on this journey with you. You don't have to know everything. Being a Christian is more about being passionate and set on fire for God today than it is about knowing facts that are in the Bible. So wherever you are, if that term fire by night doesn't make any sense to you, I want to put it in context of when it occurs in the Bible. The people of God, Israel, God's chosen nation, have been taken into slavery for hundreds of years under the Egyptians. Now, even if you didn't grow up hearing about the Bible, you're like, oh, I've seen Prince of Egypt. I think I know what's going to happen. Yeah, you do. So yeah, you're with us. Stay with me. They get released from slavery by the mighty hand of God and sent to this land called the Promised Land. But there's this time in between where the people of God are leaving Egypt and they're headed to the Promised Land, and they are very much headed into the unknown. They don't have a map for how they're going to get to Canaan, which is what the Promised Land was called. They do not have some kind of GPS system or Google Maps to go, okay, we should walk this way, and then if we go up that way, everything's all going to work out. All they had was to trust their leader named Moses, who was following God himself on the journey. But God gave them some specific tangible signs for where they should go and how they should follow. And that's exactly what we're going to read today. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And if you don't have your Bible, you can tell the person next to you what your favorite emoji is as well. Wow, everybody's got their Bible. I love it. Hey, Overflow, we love you. We love you, Overflow. We're so glad that you're here. Y'all, we've had Overflow at all three services today, even at the 8:15. The 8:15 a.m. service had Overflow. It was like a bigger miracle than the Red Sea parting. Here we go. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. This is what scripture says. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Now, this is pretty amazing. And this is what we all want when we're headed into the unknown. God didn't just guide them out of Egypt with supernatural miracles like plagues and the Passover. He shows up in a tangible, miraculous way to show them where to step. And he goes, hey, while you're leaving behind slavery and headed toward freedom, I'm going to give you my presence. It's a cloud by day. So during the day, you can kind of see all that's around you, but they didn't know where to go. So the cloud would tell them where to go. But then at night, that cloud would turn into fire so that the fire would not only light up where they should step immediately, but would protect them from what they can't see in front of them. See, because you're walking at night, 6,000 years ago, you don't really know what you're about to run into. You don't know if you're about to run up on wild animals or you're about to run into a mountain, and all they have in front of them is this fire by night. And if you watch them on this journey, I would highly encourage you to read Exodus 13 through chapter 17 and see how amazing their journey was. It is so cool to read how every time the people of God doubt and dread, God comes through with a miracle. So as they're leaving Egypt, the Egyptians change their mind about letting them go. Remember, Pharaoh, oh, baby, let my people go. Huh? None of y'all went to vacation Bible school. Wow. Okay, we gotta get y'all in Baptist church at a young age, okay? That's what I grew up on. Remember when they left Egypt? Well, the Egyptians go, oh, that was a terrible idea. Why did we let them go? So they start chasing them with an army. And then the people of Israel have the Red Sea in front of them and an Egyptian army behind them. And they're like, great, thanks for leading us into the unknown, Lord. Where do we go? What in the world are we supposed to do next? And God parts the sea so that the people of God can cross over on dry ground. And then once the Egyptians are on that dry ground chasing after them, he crashes that sea on top of them and takes out every single Egyptian. And they stand in that place in awe and amazed at what God had done. And watch this. 3 days later, they completely forget because they run out of water. And they go, that's great that you parted the sea, but now we don't have water to drink. Why don't we go back to Egypt? We had plenty of water there. It's amazing how well we remember the slavery of our past and how much we over-romanticize who we used to be. You don't miss that old life. Someone is lying to you. And they're like, man, we had plenty of water in Egypt. Well, God provides water miraculously several times. One time, Moses just hits a rock with his staff and water comes flowing. And then they go, well, great, you got the water thing figured out, but what about the food? We're starving. And so God provides manna, this daily bread to sustain them in the wilderness. And then they go, well, that's great, but that's like a high carb diet. We wanted some protein. I'm dead serious. This happens in the Bible. We had protein back in Egypt. Why doesn't God give us protein? We're tired of this bread. Like, can we get some kind of meat? And God gives them more quail than they know what to do with. Every single time they hit the unknown, God provides miraculously, but they never stop dreading their next circumstance that they can't control or understand. They never stop looking at God going, God, why is this so hard again? And why is this happening again? And what's amazing to me when you read Exodus is that no one ever stands up in the middle of the story and says, you know what, guys, this is really hard. And this is really difficult. I'm not gonna lie about that. I'm not gonna try to deceive you about that. This is really difficult. At the same time, this is kind of awesome. Like, we're in one of the coolest stories that has ever been written about. People might be talking about us 6,000 years from now in Auburn, Alabama. Like, I know it's hard and I know we don't understand everything, but can we just admit that a sea parted for us to cross over on? And can we just stop for a second and talk about how water keeps coming out of nowhere and how food keeps appearing from nothing? Like, I know we don't know where we're gonna go and what we're gonna do tomorrow, but this is kind of awesome. No one ever says that. And so I want to stand up 4 years into this journey together as a church and be that voice and go, guys, I don't understand everything about the journey that we're on. And I don't understand about everything going on in the journey that you're walking on in your life. But when you look at the provision of God over seasons of your life and you see that he's been faithful and he's not going to stop being faithful, will there ever become a time in your life where you flip the switch from, God, I can't control this and I want to, you know what? I don't control it and it's better that way. And this is kind of awesome. It's really hard, but this is pretty awesome getting to see your hand move in such a powerful way. And the reason why we never stop and have that moment is we never transfer our trust from the circumstances of the miracle to the God of the miracle. See, they made their whole life about the circumstances that were right in front of them instead of taking what they had learned from those and transferring them to, you know what, we might not know everything about what's going to happen to us tomorrow, but we are learning something about him. And it is only when you learn to trust in the God of your circumstances that you can really start enjoying them. It is only when I know who I am following that I can trust the journey. And God doesn't want you and I today to put our trust in what he's going to do. He wants you and I to put our trust in who he is. And when God's character has been proven faithful to you time and time again, and you learn to trust who you're following, I believe you can, and I believe I can, go from this life that's all about squeezing and trying to control God to completely surrendering and going, I'm just down for the journey. I know it's going to be hard, and I know it's going to be awesome. Y'all, the Christian life is so awful. It is so hard. Every bit of you is getting burned away, who you used to be. You're getting called into places where you don't know what to do next. And every bit of that awful journey is awesome. Because on that journey, Jesus is there and he's more than enough. And you'll look back if you're willing to walk long enough and go, I'm so glad I didn't waste my life on anything less than following Jesus. And that's the great thing about you and me. We're not like the people of God in Exodus. They had a very limited history of who God was. We have Jesus, who's the Word of God, alive in the flesh. And I want to show you something Jesus said in John chapter 8 that connects to this story. John chapter 8, verse 12, if you have your Bible. God wants us to learn who he is more than he wants us to trust what he does. And I knew I was going to preach on this verse this week, but I had no idea how directly it connected to the people of God in Exodus chapter 13. You may have heard it if you grew up in church. Some of you may have it memorized. John chapter 8, verse 12. Here's what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I knew I was going to preach this verse to you this week because it kind of seems similar to the whole fire by night theme. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. But I had no idea how much these words of Jesus directly connect to that story from Exodus, because Jesus actually said this line at the Festival of Tabernacles. Now, none of you are freaking out right now because you're not Jewish. And we talked about this last week. There's so many things in the Bible that because we're not Jewish from the people of Israel, we don't really freak out about. We don't really understand. I had a guy come up to me last week after the last service. He's like, I'm Jewish. I'm the second Jew in the history of ACC, Jew number two. And he was like, I'm just so happy to be here and following Jesus. So we do have a few, but for most of us, I say Jesus said this at the Festival of Tabernacles. And you guys are like, nope. What in the world does that mean? The Festival of Tabernacles is something where the entire Jewish world comes back to Jerusalem for a 7-night festival where they are celebrating God's faithfulness in the past and what will come in the future. But the two main things they're celebrating is how God led the people of Israel out of the desert in the book of Exodus, and how God will ultimately lead the whole world to worship in Jerusalem in a messianic era one day. Not realizing that the messianic era is beginning the moment Jesus said these words. And it is at the Festival of Tabernacles where every night they would light these lamps to show what the fire by night looked like. Can we put that picture of the temple up there? This is what it would look like in Jesus's day. They would celebrate by lighting these lamps, and it was to commemorate the fire by night that led the people of God out of Egypt into the promised land. So essentially, what Jesus is saying in John chapter 8, verse 12 is this. Hey, I'm the light of the world. Watch this. I'm the fire by night. I'm the fire that lights the way of your path. I'm the only hope as you walk through uncertainty. I'm the one who your trust and hope and faith must remain in. And you got to know, when we talk about following Jesus, we are following him as Savior and Lord. He is Savior and forgiver of your sins, but he's also Lord and the one that you follow with your life. And if Jesus is your Savior and not your Lord, you haven't stepped into the fullness of the Christian life. Because if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so on the same way, we're going to tell you how forgiven you are. We're going to talk about the reckless love of God. We're going to tell you how amazing it is that God came 100% to save you. He's Savior. We're also going to tell you that he's Lord. And when you're following Jesus, you don't get to call the shots about where you're going and when you get there. But that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Why? Because he's fire by night. When Jesus walked the earth, he said, I have come to baptize with fire. And we all hear that and we go, whoa, that's way too charismatic. Like, I don't want to get baptized with fire. I just stay away from fire. I don't know what I think about that. What Jesus meant by that is that following me is about being filled with an internal fullness called fire. Translation, Jesus is no longer the fire in front of you that you watch what he does and go that way. Jesus is now the fire within you that burns wherever you go. It's not a fire that you got to figure out. It's a fire that consumes your very soul. And when you become a Christian and you step into the fullness of following Jesus, the reason why we're so frustrated is we're looking for a fire by night that should be burning from within the entire time. Here's an easier way of saying this. We'll put this on the screen. God's will is not a map. God's will is a match. God's will is not a map. God's will is a match. So we've been bothering God our entire lives, telling him to show us his will, when all the while, his will is not a map that he's plotted out for us. It's a match that's willing to set a fire on the inside. So when you and I flip our pursuit from, God, show me the secret plan. Show me what I can't see. Show me what I don't know. To, you know what, God? Could you just fill me with love and passion for you today, and I'll have enough light to light my way as I go. And it is only when you flip the switch from asking God for his map to becoming his match that you flip the switch from dreading your journey to enjoying it. When you stop seeing God as the person who's keeping the plan hidden to the person who's actually given you everything you need for today, I promise you this will happen. So what am I calling you to do today? Here's what I'm calling you to do. Stop looking for the fire by night and start becoming the fire by night. That's what I'm trying to say. Stop looking for Jesus to be that one who blazes everything about where you need to go and when you need to get there and how the situation's going to play out, and start looking to Jesus as the fire from within that exists to set you on fire in a lost, dark, and broken world. ACC, here's the message today. I know I'm saying a lot. This is so simple. We are the fire by night now. And we have been called by God to burn with a passion for his glory and for knowing Jesus in a lost, dark, and broken world. And part of what a broken, lost world can't find believable about God is why the people who call themselves Christians are the most anxious, freaking out people on planet Earth. If we really have a God who's sovereign, who has saved us, who's in total control, who we can trust, wouldn't our days be better off spent just burning with a fire for who he is than trying to figure out everything about where the fire's going? God's will for your life is more that you would become the fire in the night than that you would follow the fire by night. And so the question then becomes, how in the world do I get set on fire? I want you to stop looking for where God is leading you and just start burning right where you are. I need you to stay with me, though, because you look at the person next to you, say, fire by night, stay with me, stay with me. Fire by night. Look at the person you just ignored for whatever reason and say it to them as well. Five services, y'all. Gotta stay hydrated. Our fourth sponsor is Fiji Water. Given away free by the Fiji fraternity next door. Okay, number one, here we go. How do I get set on fire in the night? Number one, I want you to light your immediate passion on a daily basis. This is so huge. A bigger deal than figuring out God's plan for your life is figuring out whether or not you have passion for God today. A bigger deal than figuring out God's plan for your life is figuring out whether or not you have passion for God today. We got to change our pursuit. And this is in the immediate, like daily pursuit. Our pursuit of God, at least in my story, seems to be so much more about figuring out the plan than it is about making sure I still have that internal passion and fire. And we talk about being on fire for God. Usually that's Christian code for he just became a Christian. She just became a Christian. Like they don't know any better. They're just super passionate about God, but they, you know, they'll get older and they'll kind of calm down a little bit. But what I mean by being set on fire in the night is this: what a new Christian has that so many of us who are more experienced in the faith tend to lack is a childlike faith. And Jesus said, if you lack that, you have no place in my kingdom. So we got to get back to that childlike faith. Where did it begin? My faith journey, and for most of you, your faith journey began with two things: nothing compromised to the world around you, and everything consumed by the word within you. That's what it means to be on fire. That nothing is compromised to the world around you. Somehow, over time, as we're following Jesus, we end up compromising these little portions of our life where we go, no, this is off limits. This is something you can't touch, God. This is something you can't come near. When, if God by nature is a consuming fire, he's going to need to consume all of who you are. And so we need to have nothing held back from God touching it. And at the same time, we need to be in a position where everything is consumed by the word within us. This is the fuel for your fire, y'all. And I am not telling you, you need to read your Bible every day and have your quiet time every day. And we just another push for people to spend a little bit of time in God's word. I'm saying spend enough time in this book so you don't just know it, you become it. Because the word of God is living and active. And I promise you, the Bible will read you way more than you read it. If you get this stuff on the inside of you long enough, you will notice this fire start to burn from within you. That'll refine you, but it'll also give you passion for your ultimate purpose in life, which is to know God and make him known. And the true reason why Christians burn out, you hear a lot of people talk about that. Oh, I got burnt out on my faith. And you're like, wait, what does that mean? Like, well, I just got really tired. You know, I burnt out. Well, the definition of burnout is something that was burning and then ran out of material to burn. So the reason why you burned out is because you had stuff that you were compromising in the corner, and you had this that you weren't consuming to keep your fire burning. The problem for so many of us is we carry around fire extinguishers in our back pocket called our phones that immediately keep this word from consuming all that who we are. And I'm not telling you don't carry a phone. I'm not telling you don't be on social media. I'm just saying you need to know that for this to truly get in you, it is more than Jesus calling. And it is more than a look at your Bible app when you wake up. I think that's a great step. But God told the people of Israel when they were in between the slavery of Egypt and the freedom of the promised land, meditate on my word day and night. This is the fire. And most Christians spend their entire lives between the slavery of sin and the freedom of life in Christ, just like the people of Israel spent 40 years between the slavery of Egypt and the freedom of the promised land. Why? Because we never fully get consumed by knowing him. Because if you know the word, you know him. Jesus came. And what John says about Jesus is that he is the word. He is the living, breathing, all that can be known or will ever be known about who God is. And when you fill yourself with the word, you burn with a fire, watch this, that's bright enough to be a light on your path. So what does Psalm 119 say about the word of God? It says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. When you're burning with a fire that knows scripture, you always have enough light for your next step. Because God is more concerned with you obeying his revealed ways than he is with you figuring out his concealed will. God is so much more concerned with you and I obeying the ways he's already revealed than figuring out the will that he's concealed. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me and he will make your path straight. Think about that, the path straight. What makes your path straight? Fire by night. What does that? Acknowledging him in all your ways. You will never be outside of the will of God if you are set on fire in this moment with a passion to know him and a passion to love others, ever. So God's will is not a destination. God's will is a realization. And in this moment, God, you know what? I don't know everything about where you're gonna go, and I don't know everything about how this is gonna unfold, but I'm gonna follow your revealed ways long enough for you to show me your concealed will. And if you live your life on this journey, you will always have enough light for your next step, and you will always have enough peace to continue down the journey. Let's enjoy this journey, ACC. Let's be the fire by night, but it starts with lighting your immediate passion. Somebody say fire by night, fire by night. Come on, number two. I need you to fuel your ultimate purpose. Fuel your ultimate purpose. Fire by night lights our purpose more than our path. And specifically in this point, I'm talking about those moments where uncertainty hits and you didn't want it to. Where difficulty comes and you'd rather have it the easy way, and I get it. I'm in that place all the time. But here's the thing about being a fire by night. Uncertainty and difficulty don't diminish the power of what God's doing in you if you're a fire by night. They amplify what God's doing in you. So now the things I wanted to avoid become the very things that are making me burn brighter. Because fire by night wasn't needed during the daytime for the people of Israel. It was just a cloud by day, but it had to switch to fire during the darkness. Got great news for you, ACC. We live in a lost, dark, and broken world. That is to our advantage as the church because we are the light of the world. So no longer do we look at the darkness or do we look at the difficulty and go, oh man, I just want to avoid that and I don't want it to be this hard and I don't want it to be this difficult. But now that difficulty, that uncertainty becomes the fuel for my fire, and the very effort of the devil to destroy me becomes the power and the fire that destroys him. His very efforts to come against me get turned against him. And that is why we can be the church that stands within an inch of hell, pulling people out every single day. Because why are you afraid of getting burned if you're already on fire? If we're already on fire, we got nothing to be afraid of. We can step into the fire and pull people out. And I'm thinking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for a second and talking about walking through fire and not being burned. If you don't know that story in Daniel, these three men get thrown into a blazing furnace and all of Babylon watch as they don't die in the fire. And the king goes, you know what? That's weird because we only threw three of them in there. And there's a fourth guy in there who looks like a son of God. How are they all in the fire? I'll tell you how. The fourth guy's not in the fire. The fourth guy is the fire. And if you have Jesus filling you up on the inside, you got nothing to be afraid of. In fact, the very uncertainty and darkness that used to make you afraid now builds expectation for what God's going to do. It's now the evidence that the hand of God is on you. So if you've been following Jesus for a while, this is good news and bad news. I'm preaching to myself with this one. You've been following Jesus for a while, and it only gets harder, it only gets more complicated, it only gets more difficult, I got great news. You're right where you're supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to go. God is using you. But when you and I don't use those difficulties to fuel our ultimate purpose, we're falling short of what's possible for us. I gotta be honest with you, that's exactly what I'm doing today. I could not wait to preach this message. I've had this one on my heart for a couple months. And I knew I was going to preach it today. I knew that there was somebody coming to Auburn Community Church today who needed to hear this. But what you don't plan for is getting home on Friday night and you get hit with that. You know that stomach bug where everything that you've eaten in your life decides, we've got to come out now. And that's what happened to me. And this is a little too much TMI, but I'm just totally like out spacing out. Third service of five and sicker than I've been in a long time. I just want to tell you that I was down to the end of myself. And I was thinking, you know, it's going to be a miracle for me to stand on that stage. And then I just switched it to, man, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. So maybe on the day where I can't think straight, and I can't really have all the strength that I want to have, maybe God's strength is going to rest on me in even more of a powerful way on that day. Maybe you're more powerful because you're weak. Maybe it's better that it's darker so your light can burn brighter. And maybe the difficulty can suddenly be transferred in your life to the evidence that God exists. And when we start living like this, this is what a broken world looks at and goes, I want some of that. People who are not afraid of the unknown, people who face death and don't blink, and people who look directly right in front of them with no knowledge of where they are going and go, it's okay, because I got this fire burning on the inside of me that's enough light for my next step. Fire by night. We're going to be a fire by night. We're going to light our immediate passion on a daily basis. We're going to fuel your ultimate purpose. And then lastly, and this one might make me emotional, you got to find your intimate peace. Find your intimate peace. There is a clarity that comes from knowing Jesus that will surpass the uncertainty of every circumstance if you let it. I have found over the last 4 years that intimacy with God is always built in the mystery of God. And that is not just some cute line that rhymes. That is a line that I have earned. And that there are some Christians in this room who have earned that over time. That there's a closeness with Jesus. Intimacy, what does that mean? To know and be known with no fear of rejection. There's an intimacy with Jesus that can only be found in the mystery. And so we say things like, I want more of you, God. I want to know you more. I want to know you at a deeper level. And we don't really know what we're asking God for. Because to know Jesus deeper always requires us to take another step into the unknown. And so I can tell you the unknown is going to be brutal. It will shake you to your core. It will be dangerous. We are not preaching a version of Christianity from this stage that's health, wealth, and prosperity, and all your days will be merry for the rest of your life. No way. It's going to be hard, real hard. But I will tell you that on those nights when you can't even go to sleep. There's so many tears. And in those moments where all you want to do is give up, and in those spaces that are all too real in life where you just want to walk away and give up, I can tell you that in those moments, Jesus will never be more real to you than in those spaces. There's a closeness and an intimacy with Jesus that'll cause you to, after the circumstance is over, look back at it and go, you know what? That was so hard and I hated it, but I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything because I know more of who he is. ACC, do you want to pay the price that is required to know Jesus at a deep and intimate level? It's called choosing the danger, choosing the quest, choosing the unknown. Because only in the unknown is there any need for faith. And only in the unknown is there any need for God. I'd love to tell you that we're doing a righteous thing when we ask God what the plan is, but most of the time you and I go, God, show me your plan, show me your will. You know what we're saying? We're saying, show me what I need to know so I won't have to need you. That's what we're saying. I don't want to need you. I want to control it. And so when God responds to your prayer with a difficulty or an uncertainty or something you didn't see coming, don't look at him as someone who's trying to hurt you. You gotta see him as only trying to help you, because he knows what you need more than all of your questions answered is more of him. And what makes you more dependent on him is being in a position where you can't turn to anyone but him. And it's when you can't turn to anyone but him that you go, God, I'm so desperate for you and I need you to burn in me like a fire because I don't even know what I'm gonna face today. And when you pray to God like that, that's when the Holy Spirit starts moving to you in a powerful way. And that's when you get peace that surpasses all understanding, because you don't know anything about how it is going to unfold. But suddenly, you know him. Hey, CC, I don't know what we're going to do. People have been asking me all week, you guys are doing 5 services, you still don't have enough room. How in the world are you going to pull this off? I just laugh. I'm like, we're not. We're not. There's no way. No human being could possibly determine the path that this movement takes from here. And definitely not me. I don't have a plan. I don't. If you think you're looking at a strong leader who has a plan, I'm just a guy who threw up everything in his body and who's shouting on a Sunday. That's all I am today. But what I can tell you is we will not choose the path of comfort and security. We will choose the unknown. We will choose the quest. And we'll choose that. Why? Because that's where Jesus is. And I don't want to be anyplace else. You can close your Bibles, put your notes away. Stand up all over this room. Stand up in overflow. The band's going to come up here. I want to read you a scripture as we go into worship that sums all this up. It's at the end of Hebrews. And Hebrews is written to Christians who want to give up. And the writer says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. There's nothing you will ever go through that can shake the kingdom of God that lives on the inside of you. And the only way to respond is with awe, with worship, and with thankfulness. And so with grateful hearts today, I want you, if you're in on this journey with us, I want you to invite the God of the universe to set you on fire. Why? Because he is a consuming fire. And when you invite him into your life, you're inviting the passion to love God and love the world. You're also inviting the light that's going to light your step. And you're inviting an intimacy that will bring you peace every step of the way. With every head bowed, eye closed in this place. If you're here today and you go, I want that fire by night in my life. I want to know Jesus today. I'm ready to give my life to God. I'm ready to step into this relationship. It is no accident that you're here today. And even if you're here and you've already become a Christian, but everything about this message has grabbed a hold of your heart and you're going, I want to stop fighting God for control today. I want you to join in with this as well. If you would say, God, set me on fire today. I am yours. I want to be that fire by night. Would you just lift your hand right where you are right now? Would you say, that's me in this place? Powerful. Our God, he's a consuming fire. He sees you.
Father God, you see these hands, and even more than that, you know these hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray you fill us with a passion to know you deeper. I pray your word would burn in your people. And that, God, the greatest pursuit of our lives would be to know you, not to figure out what we can't know or can't see. God, fill this room with true and genuine worship of your name. We trust you. We give you our lives. We give you our stories. They're so much better in your hands than they ever could be in ours. We bring them to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church. Let's sing this together.
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.